For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In joyful expectation of the resurrection to life eternal, we now remember before the Lord our departed family and friends who have gone before us in faith. We remember Leanne Krieger, who lived her life in the faith and has now been granted the joy of life everlasting. We remember Adele Burke, who lived her life in the faith and has now been granted the joy of life everlasting. We remember Mona Krupica, who lived her life in the faith and has now been granted the joy of life everlasting. We remember Helen Kettner, who lived her life in the faith and has now been granted the joy of life everlasting. We remember Robert Shirkus, who lived his life in the faith and has now been granted the joy of life everlasting. We remember Mary Oles, who lived her life in the faith and has now been granted the joy of life everlasting. We remember James Gregory Musgrave, who lived his life in the faith and has now been granted the joy of life everlasting. We remember Robert Ferguson, who lived his life in the faith and has now been granted the joy of life everlasting. We remember Laverna Froman, who lived her life in the faith and has now been granted the joy of life everlasting. Merciful Father, whose dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, rose victoriously over death and the grave, we remember with thanksgiving your faithful people who have trusted in Christ, whose tears are gone, and whose sorrows you have now turned to joy. We humbly implore you to strengthen us in the confident hope of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Into your hands we commend them, merciful Savior. Sheep of your own fold, lambs of your own flock, sinners of your own redeeming. Grant eternal rest to them, O Lord, and let light perpetual shine upon them through you, the light eternal. Amen. Friends, welcome to 11 o'clock church. It's good to be able to be back with two services again here. We're going to be doing this through now permanently, starting in November, going through the month of April. That will get us through Easter every year. And then during the months of May through October, we'll go back, be doing the one service. That is our plan for right now. So, we have got just probably as many visitors as we've had here in quite a while. I've noted that we've got that our snowbirds are coming back to us rapidly, and that's great to see. Whatever has brought you to us here, thanks for being a part of our service for this morning. Just a couple of quick announcements. Number one, remember that after our late church next week is our semi-annual voters meeting. We have that a week earlier than we're supposed to, just because you go the next week, it starts getting into that weekend before Thanksgiving, and that's just something that our people don't want to do. However, during next week's service, we are going to be celebrating, it just so happens next Sunday is Veterans Day. We don't often have Veterans Day fall on a Sunday, and I know that we don't have near the veterans that we at one time did. But what we would like for all of our veterans to do is, we'd like it. You can send something to me via one of the emails that I send you out, or call the office, whatever it is you want to do. Tell us about your term of service, your branch of service, all those types of things that would be helpful for us. We do want to recognize all of our veterans as a part of next weekend's service. Now here today and for the next 2 weeks, we are going to be taking script orders. The faith cards, we usually do it this weekend. We have not ever done it the next weekend, but you've got the little insert in your bulletin that gives you all the details. If ever there was a time to get connected with that program, because all you're doing is buying gift cards for the holidays. You're pre-buying them, and then it's something that helps the ministries of the church. But aside from the cost of the gift card at face value, it costs you nothing. So it's a good program, especially as we go into both the shopping and the gift season here. So in the midst of God's people, it does look like we're going to be able, Ladies Guild, it does look like we're going to be able perhaps to have, if we need to have it over to CLC, we'll have an announcement for our Ladies Guild before we get to that meeting where we're going to have. But you'll notice that nothing has been started yet, but it's going to almost immediately now as we understand it. So, and by the way, for those of you that go to our Saturday night worship that just happened to be here this morning, the Veterans Day thing will only be a part of next Sunday. Now, there will be a fellowship as a part of next Sunday. It's that second Sunday of the month. The Saturday night people will also have a fellowship, but the Veterans Day thing is only for Sunday. So we'll just prepare all of God's people for that there. Okay, friends, let's go down and stand and greet one another in the peace of the Lord. Well, we continue then in the middle of page 4 with the service of the word for the celebration of all saints. For all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confess, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Alleluia, alleluia. As we celebrate God's salvation and remember the cloud of witnesses who have gone before us, we are reminded that all saints, both living and dead, have led sinful lives. Even though we are God's children, what we will be has not yet appeared. We remain contaminated by sin and evil until Jesus returns. As we come before God, let us consider our sinfulness and ask God for his forgiveness, beginning with a moment of silence. holy God. We are all guilty and ashamed of our sinful thoughts, words, and actions by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not always lived as your children. We have often failed to seek peace. We have not been pure of heart. We confess our faults and seek your cleansing forgiveness. Forgive us, renew us, and bless us so that we may rejoice and be glad to be counted as your children. Saints of God, know that even as you confess your sins, you are forgiven by God, who has lavished his love upon us by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to die and rise again for us all. Because of this, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. So as a called and ordained servant of the Word and by the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, I declare that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are God's children, and ours is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Today's readings are from Holy Scripture, are for the celebration of all saints. The Old Testament lesson from Psalm 116. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of the depths laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson from Hebrews chapter 9. Christ is the mediator of a new, living, permanent covenant. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers through the prophets.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We continue in place of the creed this morning with a portion of Dr. Martin Luther's Small Catechism, the sixth and seventh petition and conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. What is the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer? "And lead us not into temptation." What does this mean? God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. What is the seventh petition? "But deliver us from evil." What does this mean? We pray in this petition, in summary, that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation, and finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end, and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. How does the Lord's Prayer conclude? "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." What does the word "amen" mean? This means that I should be certain that these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by him, for he himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. "Amen, amen" means yes, yes, it shall be so. Dear friends, every week we talk about the grace and peace and mercy and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But compared to what the people who have been granted life everlasting have, we've only seen a glimpse of it. Still, God pours it out abundantly for each of us, that we may be a blessing in these days that we are given in this world. So may that grace and peace rest upon you. Amen. As life begins to slowly ebb away from people, and of course it doesn't always do that for everybody, but for those that it does, they describe it in different ways. For some, it is almost like they have reached a point where they just don't even like the things that are going on anymore. They start to see things that they just don't care for. They become tired. And perhaps there's no better example than Martin Luther. He was kind of the star of the show last week, even though Jesus Christ always is, and Martin Luther would be the first to say that. Still, you have to remember what happened to Martin Luther after he stood up to both church officials and government officials and said to go against scriptures, neither right nor safe. And they put a ban on him where every day for the rest of his life, he lived under the possibility that somebody just might choose that day to, shall we say, have him rubbed out. And the ban meant that no questions were going to be asked. And during the rest of Luther's life, there were several times where the church at large was sending notes into Germany. "Hey, why hasn't anybody followed through on our order to deal with Martin Luther?" And on top of that, Luther had health ailment after health ailment after health ailment. Some of the things I suppose probably could have been dealt with today's modern medicine, but there wasn't much they could do back then. And he got himself where he said, I am tired of life, but I'm even more tired of death. Well, friends, it is hard for us when we have to say goodbye, when we have to part with someone, or in the case of our church this morning, several someones who have given their life in the faith. It's said in the book of Revelation, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. But we can't be faithful. Not on our own, we can't. So how is that to take place? Well, there are two things that the Lord gives to us. That the Lord gives to us to make it clear just exactly what he does with death. The first thing that he does is he gives us life. Now, in the grand scheme of things, it's not much. Even for those people who, by the world's definition, live a good, long, healthy life. You know, you go back, all the way back to Adam and Eve. And you go forward, and who knows how many more generations there's going to be after we're gone, assuming that Jesus doesn't come back in any of our lifetimes, and he might. Somewhere, even the longest of life doesn't seem very long in the space of that amount of time. We aren't given much time to show what our lives are going to be like. So what are we going to do with it? What we do in life goes into eternity. Or does it? Maybe not for everybody, but for those who have been called in the waters of holy baptism, one of which is going to be a part of our service this morning. In the midst of all of that, my friends, God gives to us what really is life. A life we could have never have known any other way. A life that sees things nobody else sees. A life that is able to experience things of the blessings of God that no one else can experience. A life that sees what God's real purpose was. And let's not forget what that purpose was. God had given us something unbelievably wonderful in the Garden of Eden. And it didn't even take long for us to really mess things up. And what was so sad was what Eve supposedly gave in to temptation, what she wanted, was what she already had. She already was like God in more ways than she could have ever imagined, in ways most of us in this life will never imagine. But as soon as Adam and Eve fell into sin, God needed a plan. And he had one. And if you can imagine, a plan that was far better than the world that was created very good, than a garden that was almost idyllic for Adam and Eve, he had a better plan. And his plan involved crushing the head of the serpent, taking on the problem of sin head on, even at the price of his own son. One of the saddest things I can say about many, if not most, if not all of us here, we know death. We know it almost too well. Death has come across our existence like few other things. And even this morning, as we're going through that list of people, I know in my case, and almost for sure in yours, you go through some of those names, and this is my fourth year of reading those names, and every time it seems to involve somebody who was a vital part of this church. And if they hadn't lived here all their lives, they'd been a vital part of another church in another part of the country. Their life in Christ was everything to them. And still we have to lose those people. And the gifts that God gave through them are gifts that, at the time especially that it happens, it seems almost impossible to replace. But God does replace it. Because God is always looking out for His people. And if He is going to call one or several of His people home, it's because there is something new waiting for us. Just as in the same way, on the same day that we're kind of recognizing that nine of our saints have been granted everlasting life, we show the beginning of a spiritual life of a young lady named Isabella. On the same day, when we are recognizing all of those from all generations who have gone before us, who were faithful unto death and received a crown of life, we stand and we look at God's people here, a mighty throng of saints, some of whom we barely know, but all of whom have been blessed by God to be a blessing. Which is good, because otherwise, you see it on TV, there's nothing good about death. It tears the very fabric of our consciousness away from us. It leaves nothing but a black hole of emptiness where a person that we loved once was. And yet, through Jesus Christ, through His suffering and death, because He was willing to die for us, now the blackness of death becomes the brightness of life eternal. The seeming weakness of death becomes the strength of being able to enjoy Jesus Christ. The sudden finality of death becomes all of a sudden an opening, a beginning, where we see what a new life away from all of that is all about. And that's why my text for this morning was what we heard earlier from the 116th Psalm. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Well, we're going to celebrate a death of all of us today. Not a death that says our time in this world is not going to be much longer. It would be nice, even though we need to be prepared for life. It would probably be nice if most of us didn't have to face it today. And most likely we won't. But that day will come. And as that day comes, we see that it is now that death is at work in us. But life is at work. Life is at work beginning with something so small, something so innocent, even if you were watching it, you may not understand what just happened, but God knows. As God provides the life in each of us, the life of faith that begins with water in the Word, And from that, my friends, comes a life that we get to lead. Still troubled by sin. As every person going into life everlasting is both saint and sinner, but also redeemed, restored, ready to serve the Lord in this life and in the next. That's our life. That is the life that we get to have even now. That is the life that is truly, friends, life everlasting. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, my friends, at this time, this was something in the midst of God's people here. We do have a family that has come here in the midst of God's people. We've had several families that have begun to join us in our midst, and having their children baptized, becoming a part of the faith that we give here. And so what we're going to do now is here, before we go into the offering, we are now going to have a special moment of baptism here on behalf of the family of Isabel Bonilla. So if I could ask the family to please come forward. And friends, there isn't much we're going to need in the hymnals, but if you'd like, you may turn your hymnals to page 271. Page 271.
Friends, dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises that whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. St. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, reminds us of the universal nature of baptism. When he says, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, "This blessing is for you and for your children," he also writes in his first letter, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born simple and are in need of forgiveness because we are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. Indeed, we would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so as well, receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as a child redeemed by Christ the Crucified. A lesson here that's directed to us and our children, as we hear how the Lord Jesus has opened the kingdom of heaven. Now they were bringing children, even infants, to Jesus that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked those who brought them, but when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. He called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child shall not enter." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. And so now, at this time, I am going to direct these next words to both the parents here and also to our Christian sponsors who have gathered together here. I'll do the best I can because we've got you on both sides here. From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing Christian sponsors for those being baptized until the time that they are confirmed. Now, obviously, whenever possible, sponsors are to serve as witnesses of the baptism of the children they will be sponsoring. But more importantly, it is your task as Christian sponsors to confess with the whole church of the faith of our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in whose name this child is to be baptized. For after the child has been baptized, you are at all times to remember her in your prayers and to remind her of her baptismal blessings from her. As much as in you lies, you are to give your counsel a name, especially if she should lose her parents. She be brought up in the true knowledge and worship of God, that as she grows in years, she is to learn the basic tenets of the Christian faith, including the Ten Commandments decreed in the Lord's Prayer. From an early age, the child is to have placed into her hands the Holy Scriptures and brought to the services of God's house. A holiness of life and work must be the norm of all who call upon the name of the Lord. It is especially important that each of you be examples to her of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for her neighbor. As you do this, the child will then carefully abide in her baptismal grace and in union with the church grow up leading godly life in the faith and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. So is it your intention then to serve Isabella gladly and willingly, both as Christian parents and as Christian sponsors? If so, answer yes with the help of God. So may God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with His grace fulfill what we are unable to do. And so, friends, in order to implore the blessing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon this child, let us pray the prayer together that our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jennifer, do you desire that she be baptized into the Christian faith? If so, answer, we do. And how is this child to be named? Can I have her full formal name for that? Isabella Marie Monique, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you new birth of water and of the Spirit, strengthen you in this grace for life everlasting. His peace be with you. Amen. And as you have received this white garment, may it show that you have been clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covers all your sin. So shall you stand before Christ to receive the inheritance prepared for you before the foundation. Receive this burning light as it shows that she has received Christ, who is the light of the world. May it always encourage us to live in the light of Christ, to be ever watchful for His coming, that we may meet Him with joy and enter with Him into the marriage feast of the Lamb and His kingdom, which shall have no end. Friends, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Almighty and most merciful God, we thank and praise you that you have graciously preserved and enlarged your family, that you have granted Isabella Bonian new birth and holy baptism, and have made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your kingdom. We humbly implore you that as she has now become your child, you would keep her your baptismal grace, and according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully grow and lead a godly life, in praise and honor of your holy name, and finding with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven. So now, my friends, I had asked you earlier to turn to page 271, and if you will go down to the fourth paragraph, it's right in the middle of the page here, we have a special welcome that is going to be read by our elder who's on duty, Mr. Steve Schilling, on behalf of our congregation. There is a response at the end that we will all speak.
In holy baptism, God the Father has made you a member of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and heir with us of all the treasures of heaven in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our sister in Christ, that together we might hear His word, receive His gifts, and proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light.
Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. He who is adult, may the Lord bring you forth as he gives you his blessings from this time forth and even forevermore. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always.
And friends, as they're returning to their seats, we receive our offerings. Before we proceed for our prayers, friends, during our early service this morning, I was informed that one of our couples that has been coming down here, they were seasonal people, the Leshers. They have helped us for years with our food bank. But life circumstances have changed for them. They were going to put their house up for sale, and in this climate, it sold almost immediately. And so they attended their final service this morning. And at 8 o'clock this morning, we had just a short farewell and Godspeed for them. And with so many preparing to return to our midst, but some also preparing for a new circumstance in life, I thought it would be a good time to also offer a special prayer on behalf of these folks. So let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus Christ, you have made each and every person that we have had in our midst a blessing, and indeed a unique blessing, as they come from many different states, many different families, many different backgrounds, but all gathered together here to strengthen the body of Christ. We thank you for each and every one of them and for the service of the Leshers these last many years. For those people that are making their way down, please keep them safe in the weeks to come. Remind each and every one of us that we are always safe in your arms, but we live in a dangerous world. Bless and be with each and every one of those people. In the midst of the special spiritual gifts they have, may they also be willing to share those with us. And may new people that we are yet to meet for the first time, but people that you have been preparing for a long time to be a part of our midst, may also be gathered with us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we continue then. Please note the special response that is on the screen. O Lord our God, our hearts praise you and our souls are glad because you have delivered us from death. You have filled us with good things. And you have kept your promise to all of the people that you would come to our aid. We thank and praise you that you have rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us safely into the kingdom of your dear Son. With eternity in our hearts, we are able to live because by his death, we are set free from our sins. And by his resurrection, we have the sure hope of eternal life with you. May that be our blessing each and every day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Be with your church, O Lord, that it may always remember your continual goodness. Continue to strengthen and guide it, that it may indeed be your holy people, a light that shines in this world's vast darkness of death. Put your word on our lips, but then take that word from our lips into the hearts and lives of others, that truth may triumph and new life may increase in our midst. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Look with love and compassion on the nations of the world, and especially our nation, as we prepare to elect new leaders this coming week on the national, state, and local levels. Move more and more that they may be committed to governing honestly, to being able to show forth that your presence is also in their lives, the responsibilities that they face as leaders and the responsibilities that we face as citizens of a country where we have been given the right to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask for your mercy for all in need. Whether it's people facing sickness, tragedy, loneliness, or any other malady of life that comes about as we go through the dark valley of the shadow of death, be with us. We now lift up before you someone in our own lives that we now name before you in the privacy of our own hearts. May they and we always rejoice in your fatherly wisdom and care. And O Lord, for all these things, as we share in your eternal kingdom of light, may you always be with us through the Savior who gave his life that we may see life and that we may see life eternal. Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our service concludes then in the middle of page 9 with the closing prayer and benediction. So let's close in prayer together. Heavenly Father, you have lavished a great love upon your children from every nation, tribe, and language. Show us mercy and comfort, Lord, as we mourn those saints who have gone before us in the faith, so that we continue to share your love with all nations. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. We do have people in the back, both to take script orders and also our teens who are continuing their sales as they prepare for Thanksgiving. So thanks for being a part of a very special service today. Equipped by God's grace to imitate the faith and good works of the saints, let us go forth in the name of Christ, go in peace, and serve the Lord.